basketball is always a long season. Always by the end of the season, there's always people that have tape all over their bodies. It's just your body wears down, and a lot of our players are dealing with shin splints, and I think it's just a lot of time just from pounding and jumping so much.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
In third year, I am in geography and English. I play center for the Marauders women's basketball team.
What's the chant? That's one of the things that you guys cheer from the bench sometimes.
From the bench?
Yeah.
Usually we just have the defense cheer. Like when we're on defense, we just chant defense, defense. We don't really have an offensive cheer. We just usually try to cheer everyone on individually. Like when someone makes a good pass or a good shot, to cheer them on individually. There's like two different sides, like defense, and then someone else will say defense. Okay. They go back and forth, yeah.
You don't know how obscure that sounds from where we were sitting.
Couldn't figure it out.
Okay, so tell us a bit about the season that you're having.
So far, I think we are 16-4 right now. We just clinched second place in our division, so we'll get a bye in the quarterfinals. So we've had a pretty good season so far. We were undefeated up until after Christmas, and we played some bad games right after the break. But other than that, we've been having a great season, winning a lot of our games, and so we're looking forward to playoffs.
When did you start playing basketball?
I started in the fifth grade, so I don't know how old I would have been in the fifth grade, but...
What got you into basketball?
For me, it was my brother. I had a brother who was 6 years older than me, and he was really into basketball, so he got me started. He'd always bring me out to play with his friends and let me shoot around with him in the driveway, so it was definitely him that influenced me into playing.
How many hours a week do you end up spending, like, with basketball?
We practice 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So that's 10 hours right there, and usually we're in an hour before practice, so 3 hours a day, and plus games on the weekend. Now we're into 2 games a weekend. In the beginning of the season, we were in tournaments every weekend, so we were gone the whole weekend, so it's a lot of time.
Yeah, full-time student?
Yeah, full-time.
How do you navigate those two worlds?
It's pretty hard to keep up with both, but I've been used to it because I've done it my whole life, so I think playing basketball makes me more motivated because I know that I'm busy a lot of time, so I have to make sure I space everything out and leave enough time to do everything.
And if some kids are thinking about, especially girls are getting into basketball, like any sort of advice that you...
I think it's a great opportunity. People should try to play sports as long as they can. You get to meet so many amazing people. I've made so many friends over the years, and it's gave me so many opportunities. So I think if you have the opportunity, you should definitely try it.
Oh, yeah. Some other questions that Matt had. You had one. What do you drink when you're playing a game?
What do I drink? I just drink water.
Okay. And do you have any advice for shooting? Because you get a lot of shots like that. So.
I don't know. My coach used to say, like, you're reaching into the cookie jar. You want to make sure you're following through and only using your one hand.
In your experience here at McMaster or in campus sports, are women sort of seen as, like, different, like, treated differently than the male teams in any way?
I'd say the men's team get a little more opportunity. We do. They get more fans and stuff like that. But women still get a lot of fans. They get a lot of support from a lot of people. So it's still pretty good, yeah. What do I want to do?
Yeah.
I like to be a high school teacher.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then that way you can...
And coach basketball too, yeah.
Daddy,
yeah?
Do you think I'd be allowed to bounce in basketball?
My name is Lindsay DeGroot, and I am in my second year here at Mac, and I'm going through for psychology, so I should be here for another 3 years with that program, so it'll give me 3 years to play. I tore my ACL and my MCL in November, and I just had reconstructive surgery actually in January, so Joanne just looks when that is. So your ACL is just your anterior cruciate ligament, and it just is one of your four ligaments in your knee, and it's pretty crucial to playing basketball because you're always moving and playing defense and stuff. So without that, you can't really play. So I'm out for 7 to 9 months, but I'll be back in September. And a lot of the other girls, it's just, it's been a long, basketball's always a long season. Always by the end of the season, there's always people that have tape all over their bodies. It's just your body wears down, and a lot of our players are dealing with shin splints, and I think it's just a lot of time just from pounding and jumping so much. The tape fingers are usually just due to jam fingers, you know, rebounding or whatever, getting a pass. But other than that, like, I think everyone else is relatively healthy, and
it's a pretty, like, tough game.
Yeah, and it's kind of long. I mean, it's 40 minutes of just, you know, pounding, especially for our big players. Like, they're always inside, and you're always getting hit, and it wears down your body after 8 months of it. But we have, like, great trainers and stuff. So Deanna broke her nose in preseason this year, so her nose is fine now. Like, it's all healed and stuff like that. The mask is just basically to prevent it. Like, I think she can take it off after. She can take it off if she wants to, but I think it's to prevent it happening again. Like, once you break your nose once, you're more susceptible to breaking it. It was actually during our last, like, overtime minute of a game that we lost by one, and she just got smoked under the net.
You played in the States too, right?
Yep, I played my first year. I went to Eastern Michigan. Didn't like it at all. The school was fine. Like, players were fine. It was the basketball part that I really didn't like. It was just a lot to deal with, and it just, the style of play wasn't what I really wanted. And I actually went to high school with a couple of the girls on this team, so that's why I decided to come here. I played with them, and Mac obviously has a good team, so. Well, I actually didn't start playing basketball really until high school. I was more of a soccer player, like, all growing up, and then I started playing in high school. You know, I played in the summer, and we went to some big tournaments in the States, and then that's when you start, you know, running into scouts and everybody, and that's when they start calling you, and then you realize yourself that, okay, like, you know, maybe I do have the potential to go down there, and I used to start working. I used to play on a Canada Drive team actually out of Hamilton, and we went for 2 weeks down to the States every summer, and it was just like the big tournaments down there, like, and just scouts from every university are there, and they talk to your, they can't talk to you, but they talk to your coaches and they message you and stuff, so it was good.
As far as, like, being a woman, how was the balance of being men and women's teams? Like,
in the States, there wasn't really that much of a difference, like, just because in the States they're so, school is, like, basically focused around athletics, whereas I think in Canada it's more academic based. Obviously in the States you get scholarships and everything, so it's more important. So between them, like, we were recognized a lot in the States, probably more than women are recognized in Canada. Obviously men's basketball is a lot bigger here than women's, but, you know, like, we keep playing well, and, like, we're going to make the Nationals this year, and, like, hopefully the next 3 years at least that I'm here, so, like, we'll be making a name for ourselves, and hopefully, you know, people will come out and support us.
Teresa Burns, head coach, McMaster Women's Basketball. Well, you're obviously looking at skill level and talent level and ability to do all the technical things on the court, but we also look for good students. The academic standards here at McMaster are pretty high, and for us, there's just no point in chasing after a recruit who's a 65 or 70% student because they're not going to get in here. So we're looking for good students. We're also looking for leaders. We talk a lot to players, coaches, and teachers, and parents, and we ask a lot of questions about their leadership qualities, and are they involved in other things at school? Are they on the student council or the athletic council, or are they in a leadership role on their current team, high school or club team? Just because we want players that are very self-motivated and self-directed, and because when they get to this level, the work ethic is pretty rigorous, and we need people that are going to be able to live up to those expectations. And so far, we've found a lot of success recruiting those kind of student athletes.
What kind of advice would you give someone who's starting out?
Get a ball. Get your own ball so that you can have that ball in your hands at home, in your driveway, you know, just to get comfortable with it. Listen to your coaches. There's a lot of good coaches out there, and they know what they're talking about, so try and really pay attention. And every player right up to this level or even higher practices a lot, and it takes a lot of practice to improve as a player in any sport. So, you know, work hard at it and practice, but also don't forget to enjoy it. We're all in this first and foremost because it's something we love to do, and have fun with it more than anything.
When we're watching a game, what are the basics? I don't want to give any trade secrets or anything for your team, but what are some of the strategies?
For our team, we base everything we're doing on fitness and hard work. Our players are on a year-round conditioning program, strength and fitness program, and everything we do starts with the base of fitness. We want to make sure that we're pushing the tempo of the game. So offensively, we want to run and fast break as much as we can, and defensively, we want to put as much pressure on the other team as we can. We work very, very hard defensively, and we try to give the other team as few good scoring opportunities as possible. And again, that's just accomplished through a lot of hard work and good communication on the floor. We play a lot of man-to-man defense and very tough on the ball, lots of pressure defense. We will run some zones, but only in select situations. And I just really think man-to-man, for our talent level, for our kids on our team, our students on our team, just fits their talent level the best of anything. So, as I said, everything we do is really starts with our base of conditioning.
What's the importance of communication, as far as you can see?
Communication's critical. I think a lot of people think when you get on the basketball court that you're trying to hide secrets from the other team and you shouldn't talk about things because they'll figure out what you're doing. At our level especially, they know what you're doing. You know, we scout each other's teams. We have game tapes of each other's teams. We know what they're going to do, and they know what we're going to do. It's just how effective are you in running your stuff and in stopping their stuff. And so you have to communicate. You have to, if you see something on the court, you should say it. And that's what we tell our players all the time. If you see it, say it. If somebody's setting a screen, even if it's not your check, say it. Call it. If you see something defensively, whether you're in, you and your check's involved or it's somebody else on the floor, talk about it. You need to work as a cohesive unit, and you can't work as a unit if you don't talk to each other. So we want our players constantly talking on the court.
No secret plays?
No secret plays. Like I said, I mean, you might run, pull out the odd thing that you haven't really shown the other team before, but you know, at this level, the coaches in particular pretty much seen it all before. It's just a matter of, you know, do you have counters for it to be able to effectively counter it? But there's not a whole lot of big secrets out there. It's more about execution.
Giving advice, maybe you can talk about what you do at the timeouts, but like you're saying, like your hands out, you know, things like that.
Well, there's, I mean, basic things that you can't take for granted. And again, at this level, if you make a mistake or you forget the basics, the other players are good enough that they'll make you pay for it. So you can't forget those basic things. And a lot of it is just basic stance, basic hand and foot movement, communication, all those seemingly trivial things actually are some of the most important things on the court.
Well, I noticed that your team is more supportive than the men.
We get pretty excited. I think the players really do support each other. They really care about each other, and it's a very cohesive sort of team atmosphere. It's almost a family atmosphere on the team. And they know that when they're on the court, somebody on the bench is going to be cheering for them. And when they come off and somebody else is on, you cheer for them. And that's the only way to have a successful team. You have to support each other and be there for each other 100%. And so that's an environment that we've tried to foster. And again, it goes back to the players we recruit too. They're really good people and nice people, and they like to support each other. So, I mean, again, it goes back to the personality of your team and what works for your team. And for our team, we don't work if we're one of those kind of cool, blasé, laid-back kind of teams that, you know, just kind of play it cool. That doesn't work for us. We have to get excited and get passionate about it and get pumped up, and that gets us going. And, you know, you have to do what's right for your team.
Well, how do you stand losing? What do you do if you lose?
We feel pretty bad. You know, we put a lot of hard work into it, and it's always really disappointing when you lose. But we try to make sure, and what we try to reinforce is that every game you play, you have to learn from. And sometimes, unfortunately, you learn the most from the games you lose rather than the ones you win. And it's, you know, we use it as motivation to get ready for the next one. And there's no sense dwelling on losing. Feeling disappointed is understandable and totally acceptable, and thinking about it for a little while, absolutely, and then you have to just get over it and park it and move on to the next game.
What's your role as a coach? What makes a good coach?
I think you need a good understanding of the game, technically and tactically. You need a good understanding of the physiological fitness part of the game. How do you get your players in shape? That kind of stuff. You have to be able to understand your players and what motivates them and how to get them going and how to get the most out of their talent level, because every player is motivated differently. Some players need lots of pats on the back to get going. Some players need you to really be excited and jump up and down and scream a lot to get going. Some players need you to be very calm to help them play, and you just have to be able to adapt to all your different players' personalities and try to get the most out of their individual talent. I'm not really a screamer yeller kind of coach. That doesn't mean I've never yelled, but I'm not a scream and yell for 2 hours of every practice and every game. And we set sort of high standards for work ethic and standards of play, and just what we ask more than anything is everybody comes out and does their best. You know, we want you to work your hardest every night and try your best every night, and nobody's going to have a perfect night every night. If any night, everybody makes mistakes, and that's fine. That's how we learn. But we want people to work as hard as they can work. And those are the standards that we really demand things of players. And the nice thing over the years is that our players have bought into that and found a lot of success with that. And now they just generate that on their own. They demand that of each other, whether it's year-round conditioning or individual workouts or actually in practice and in games. They just keep perpetuating that because they believe in it. So.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Move it!
Hi, I'm Bronwyn, and I'm going to talk about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I like basketball, and I don't have anything to say about it.
I think it's just fun to watch, and I kind of like playing, but I'm more into swimming, but I really love basketball still.
What do you do when you get to the basketball game?
Well, I just start screaming and yelling. And next time, when I go to the next game, then I'm going to wear red and white.
So you're going to actually go and be a real fan, eh?
I am a real fan already. I'm just going to be a bigger fan.
What do you shout when you're there?
I normally shout, "Go Mac," and then I scream and stamp my feet whenever they get a goal. And then one time I went, they were face painting because it was Marauder weekend. and they were given balloons. So I got my face painted with an eagle on my left cheek, and then I got a big M on my right cheek for Mac. And then I went and got two balloons, long balloons, fin long balloons, white and red. And then I started waving them in the air every time they scored a goal.
Oh, how about the men's team? Do you like to watch the
men's
team?
They had 90 points, like the last game I watched with men in it. So I was like, boo-hoo!
Which one's more fun to watch?
I'm the woman because I'm a girl.
Okay. So you were at a game on Saturday.
Yes.
And what did you win? Let's talk about what you won.
A basketball. I answered a question.
Which was?
Who went on to the rookie? And it was Taylor Smith.
And you got the answer right. Yeah. Talk about what you did with the ball after you won it.
Well, we got all the basketball players to sign it.
I got all the best too. I got it in one of those books that tells you about the players and about the team.
The game before last, they were playing Windsor, and Windsor won. And this game, they played Guelph. They won the last. And so they're going to be going to something this Saturday, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. And if they win this one, Daddy says he thinks that they're going to New Brunswick. He wants to go.
Oh, right.
So do you?
Yeah.
Cool.
call. Come along now, you'll be late for parade. Rip, 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 car.
You are listening to Radio Facebook on CFMU.
We're introducing a new segment to the show, and it's basically the Fables of Aesop. So we're going to be reading every week a fable of Aesop. Penguin Classics. A Case for Patience. A half-starved fox, who saw in the hollow of an oak tree some bread and meat left there by shepherds, crept in and ate it. With his stomach distended, he could not get out again. Another fox passing by, and hearing his cries and lamentations, came up and asked what was the matter. On being told, he said, "Well, stay there till you are as thin as you were when you went in. Then you'll get out quite easily." This tale shows how time solves difficult problems.
I know how the moon must feel, looking down from the heavens, smiling at the silly things we put ourselves through, missing magic each day and not seeing the wonder. That's how the moon must feel.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.